Welcome to the Planet Bluegrass Living Room in Lyons, Colorado, in our first podcast with acoustic virtuoso and longtime festival friend Mike Marshall. We recently caught up with Mike on tour with Chris Thiele of Nickel Creek this January. Both will be at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival this June. For information on Planet Bluegrass events this summer, please visit us at bluegrass.com. Mike, do you have any memorable stories from Telluride or any moments that...
What can you say about Telluride? It's one of the greatest festivals for this style of music, if not the... Of course, the first thing that comes to mind is just the setting. It's so ridiculous to just be in that valley and to look at those mountains. So I think it's, in a bizarre way, kind of inspiring and humbling to everyone, to just look around,
It's almost best to look at your fingers so you don't get distracted, right?
Well, of course, yeah. Yeah. And then the lineup, the fact that all of your buddies are there, your buddies and your heroes, it just makes for an extraordinarily hot environment and just makes for a lot of creativity to happen. And I think it puts everybody a little bit on edge, which is a good thing, because you have that pit down in the front and you look down and there's so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's enlightening. But beyond that, the production, what Craig and all of you guys do in terms of taking care of the musicians. And there's just this level of care for the little things that kind of puts it over the top, comparing it to any of the other festivals in the country. I think that really makes for the musicians to want to rise to the same level.
Well, we know you're going to be on stage with Edgar Meyer this year.
That's right, coming up.
Have you been touring with Edgar or writing some new music?
We're actually starting to get together in February. We have some shows in March, a bunch of stuff in March we're doing. Some concerts, so it'll be nice to hook back in with that material. And then in May, we're doing a really interesting thing at Carnegie Hall. Every year, they've been bringing a different musician in to do some kind of collaborative thing between classical musicians and some other genre. And in the case of Edgar, it's going to be the idea of classical musicians meeting bluegrass musicians. And they're young people. I think they're like 18 to 25 is the age group of students. And we spend a week together. People can bring in their own original music, or we can work on some of our own with them. We're not even sure what it's going to be, but...
And then there'll be a performance.
And then there'll be a performance at the end. But Edgar and I and Fred Shearing, this amazing cellist that Edgar works with at Lincoln Center Chamber, the three of us are going to be there for the whole week, and then we're going to bring in Jerry Douglas, Sam Bush, Bela Fleck, and Chris Thiele for like one day each. So it'll be a phenomenal experience for the students, just to get to hang out with everybody. And for us, I can't imagine the level of players, because it's a by-audition thing. I think we're talking about some of the best in the country in that age group. Probably be humbling for us, too. Yeah. But, so Edgar and I have a lot of time together between now and Telluride. Looking forward to it.
Saying that the classical set you did a couple of years ago was probably one of the most
the box set
challenging,
that was rip roaring. I think it set all of us on our ears to just get up there and play 2.5 hours of Bach. It was a high jump. It was with Chris and Bela and Edgar and myself.
How much of that music is in your new book? Are there some songs on that in there, or was that a...
Yes, I put out a book of the solo Bach music that he wrote for violin, and I think a bunch of us played some of that day. We played, Bela played some on the banjo, Chris played in the entire B minor suite, all five movements, and then I did the D minor jig, and I did the G minor fugue, also from that book. But the idea of the book was to make it available to mandolin players, because a lot of the bluegrass mandolin players actually don't read music. So I thought, well, let me do a version of this book that's in tablature and music. And then I'll cut down on the number of movements and the size of the movements. In some cases, I don't even put the entire movement in the book, just figuring, well, if somebody's looking at two pages, they might be a little more inspired to actually dive in. Rather than, you know, some of those things are like 6 pages long, and you think to yourself, I'll never be able to do this.
So I love on the duet CD how you dedicate it to the food and drink artisans who inspire you. I'm wondering if they're...
Well, when you're traveling around the country, you know, you're in a different city every day, and you're usually looking for something good. You're trying to stay healthy. You're trying to eat good food. It's a real focus of my life when I'm at home, just cooking and acquiring good food. And
what's your latest interest these days? Anything?
I'm trying to figure out if you can actually put like a little chunk of goat cheese inside of a gnocchi. That's what I'm going to work on. I think it could work.
I would think so.
Typically, you thin out the center of a gnocchi, you know, with your thumb. But because you don't want it too doughy. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking that if you could put a little something in there, it might serve the same purpose and give you this kind of blast of melted excellence.
Any Colorado restaurant recommendations for us?
We went to the Kitchen the other night. That was great. I mean, I just love their concept of, you know, they're using such great ingredients and they're supporting... What is it? All their oils go to biodiesel, and they're using really good quality organic ingredients, and that's what it's really about for me. I mean, that's where politics meet food, and we need more of that. I'm good friends with a guy who's the head chef at Chez Panisse restaurant in Berkeley, where Alice Waters started her whole phenomenon that really kind of gave birth to the whole idea of the food scene that's going on now. I mean, she's kind of the mother of it all. And that was always her big thing, was that, you know, we should be growing things, eating things that are grown locally and done without all these chemicals and without being shipped from 3,000 miles away. We went to this coffee shop in Kansas, of all places, that was absolutely out of this world. Broadway Coffee. Oh my God. Chris is a fanatic for that. He's constantly looking for the best. This is the best, man. No, I thought that was the best, but this is actually the best.
Remember what city that was?
That was Kansas. But there's another one in Portland. And he says, I don't know, man. I'm going to have to do like a taste test, but it's going to be hard, you know, because you got to have them made the same moment, you know. You got to really do a true A-B. Well, the Brazilian thing, I got bit pretty hard by that bug when I went down the, I think it was 1995, and discovered this whole world of choro music that's not unlike bluegrass in that it kind of sits under the radar compared to some of the other pop styles in Brazil. And yet there's this fanatical following of players and listeners who are as obsessed about it as bluegrass pickers are up here. And I also found that the musicians who play that music are typically the best players in the country, because it's a pretty challenging style. It's real demanding rhythmically and harmonically. So I was just drawn to that level of complexity, and yet it swings like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we'll bring this guy Hamilton de Holanda up this year. Been talking to Craig about it. We'll have to push him over the edge. This guy's unbelievable. He's kind of like the Chris Thiele of Brazilian choro. He's got that same level of awe-inspiring virtuoso chops combined with just a kind of intense party energy. when he's on stage. Wow. So I'll play a Brazilian tune for you called Odeon, written in about 1890 by Ernesto Nazareth. Odeon was the name of a movie theater in Rio where they did silent films. And Ernesto Nazareth was the house pianist, composer. And he had a 16-year-old cellist in the band named Hector Villalobos, a little five-piece choro band that played in the theater. In the lobby, as people came in, and then after everybody got in, they'd go in under the theater, under the film, and play for the movie.
Listening to the Plant Bluegrass Podcast number 1 with Mike Marshall, Brian Eister, and Steve Szymanski in our living room. Mike will be performing with Edgar Meyer at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival this June. His books are available at bluegrass.com and mikemarshall.net. For information on future podcasts, go to bluegrass.com.